Yes.
Thank you.
Your favor.
Okay.
Oh, yes. I need you.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. Who's gonna talk to the lake?
Yeah.
Alright, well, we've got a minute or so.
Okay.
Good?
Okay.
Okay. Alright, thanks, everybody. We will bring the June 13th public safety meeting to order. I am here, Councilmember Fullerton and Baldwin are both here as well. Approve the minutes, I guess, ahead of time. Anyone have any issues with the minutes? Alright, minutes will be approved as done. We'll go into reporting. Item number one, East Pierce Fire and Rescue, Chief Parkinson.
Alright, my report begins on page 7 of your packet. So just like last month, you have a much more slimmed down data set that really is much more specific to Bonnie Lake. So what you see on page 7 kind of breaks down two different sets of data. One is the Station 111, so the station in town, its first due area, which goes beyond the borders of the city. And then the lower left chart, it shows City of Bonnie Lake, so breaks out number of incidents year over year as well as travel times and total response time. So total response time includes turnout time, so amount of time it takes from when we're notified to get the vehicle and get on the road. So so that's what's kind of in the left side. Center box just shows reliability. Reliability is how often your closest station is first into its incident. So 77% of the time, Bonnie Lake makes it to its own calls. Outside of that, then Prairie Ridge, that station is picking up the next chunk of calls. Our goal is to be at least 80% reliable, so we're slightly below at this point. And then your two units that are based out of Bonnie Lake are shown on the right-hand chart. If you recall, kind of the first few months of the year, we were seeing a downward trend year over year as far as overall call volume. That has dramatically changed, really starting in late April and throughout May with how dry it was. We've just seen a substantial change in call volume. Page 8 just shows normal breakout of incidents by type as usual, 3/4 are medical. And then page 9 just shows an updated 5-year trend of where we're at with incidents. Again, if you had looked at this a couple months ago, it would have shown that we were on track to be less than we were in 2022 as far as call volume. Now we're trending towards the opposite of gaining by about 5%. So that's the data set. And then just as far as general updates, I don't have a ton other than we've kicked off our 2024 budgeting process. So that's underway. So as we roll into the fall, I'll be giving you updates as far as where we're at with that. As far as fire stations go, next week, we'll be completing our station up in Edgewood. So it'll be turned over to us. So that's exciting to wrap up our first project. You can see what's going on across the street now with the amount of steel that they're moving around, getting everything framed. So that's going to take a few weeks to get that portion done, but the contractor's doing great work over there. Extremely happy with them. Our station over on Westlake Taps broke ground last week. We had a ceremony, so they're well underway. That station will be no longer there as of tomorrow. They'll be tearing it down. So third station underway, and then our station out in Tahali will be out to bid just shortly after 4th of July. We're ready to go out to bid probably by next week, but we're trying to not lose time over the holiday as far as the process goes. So things are moving forward. That's all that I have. If there's any questions.
Are you guys going to do a grand opening, or did you already for
We will eventually. It'll probably be after we're actually operating for about a month.
Okay.
So we plan to be operational in there August 1st. And so probably a month after that or so. But we'll certainly invite everybody who wants to come out. There'll be a public one, and then we'll probably do a VIP tour or something like that. So, but it'll give you a good snapshot. I mean, obviously we're duplicating a lot of what you see on each facility shows up in all of the other facilities to help with cost and design and everything else. So.
Great. Well, thank you so much, Chief. All right, we'll go into item number 2 on reports, and that's Bonnie Lake Police Department monthly report. Assistant Chief Doyle.
Hello, everyone. I just want to let you know our stats for this year are coming down at 559 neighbor offenses, and now we're currently at 319 for this time of year, so trending down. But with that, our officers have more time to now commit to law enforcement out on the streets, traffic enforcement, and that kind of thing. Sort DUIs are up just by a little bit. Our traffic enforcement is up from 254 this time this year, or last year, to 328. For contacts and traffic stops, DUIs are 20 this year versus. Total misdemeanor driving offenses were up 101 versus 64 this time last year. And total misdemeanor violations that were charged were 123 over the 84 this time last year. We had several calls of thefts and a variety of different things, one of which I went to myself, which is a report of student progress out at the high school. Easter's fire went and went, and fortunately I knew the student, so he was one of our chiefs for the day. So it became kind of a sentimental thing, but he's doing okay, he's recovering. Talked to his family and Lisa.
Yeah, I was
thanks to these guys, he did a great job.
Yeah, I was at the
school district's the one that saved him. So
I went down to the school board meeting when the school district was there and you guys were there.
Yeah.
And the family presented awards to everyone. It was really cool to hear the story and see everyone that was involved in there, from the kid that just went and grabbed the AED to the teacher that started CPR first when you guys got there, and anywhere else that kid wouldn't have made it. And just happened to be at the right place at the right time with the right people. Great.
We did have one patrol car that was in a minor hit and run call reported had slumped over a wheel of white Kia Forte in the apartment area. The officers got there, they woke the subject, and then the subject drove backwards, striking the patrol car, but they couldn't chase. Mental damage to the patrol car. They later found that received a description of the vehicle on the roadside road, and the vehicle was found and occupied the subject. We're still working on that one, but just that's the kind of stuff we're dealing with out there outside of some of these calls for service, the proactivity, the officers out responding to these calls and coming across stuff on their own too. So. Any questions?
I was looking at the report. Obviously, like you were saying, this year up until this point, you know, everything seems to be down significantly. Mm-hmm. I'm just curious why. Well, not that I want things to be up, but I think it's really unusual. All the numbers are almost cut. Seems almost like in half in some of the bigger categories.
You know, there could be a lot of factors with that. We just came out of COVID, so a lot of people pent up, and we could have had a lot of stuff going on with that. You know, we're not 100% sure ourselves, but they're trending down, so it could be the officers being out there very visible and trying to keep them out in the side streets versus just on the highway.
Got it.
But we're also trying to keep them in the back of the stores versus the front. So we're trying to do things differently, and it could be, in law enforcement, it's hard to gauge.
Yeah.
You know, something that's you don't actually see the results of, but we're seeing the results of something here. And we think it's probably the way we're setting out the officers and having them deployed in amongst the community. So I think that has a lot to do with it. And and the fact that we put people in. So if we catch them, we put them in jail. So I think that
I mean, it's literally 559 last year to 319.
Yeah.
That's a huge difference.
That's a huge difference.
But the arrests are virtually identical.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not getting away with with what they used to.
So I think it's just the way we're deploying our officers and utilizing what we have.
Nice.
When, I was thinking it was probably because of the reputation
that police
people have. Don't come here. Don't come back and tell your friends not to come either.
I think we all know not to speed through Black Diamond, and you know,
there's a reason for that. They got nothing else to do but write you a ticket.
Absolutely, yeah. Nice.
Especially when your buddy's got the day off and you think, oh, don't worry. Okay, nope, I got the ticket. All right, well, thanks, Chief. Go into item number 3, which is prosecutor's report. Oh, you're muted.
Am I still muted?
Oh, okay. Good.
Am I good?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry. Sorry, I have a really bad cold, so that's why I'm working from home today. All right. So for the month of May, we had a really busy month. We had a total of 592 hearings for the entire month, which is way higher than any prior month. We had, part of the reason the numbers are so much higher is we had 110 Blake vacate dismissal hearings. So that's a result of that State v. Blake case a couple years ago. We have to address every single one of the cases that was impacted by that and either dismiss or vacate it and also make a record regarding legal financial obligations. So if they paid any money to the court, that has to be addressed as well, because technically speaking, they should have either never been charged or never been found guilty. So those funds that they paid have to be addressed also. It's been busy at Allen York Park. So we also had 39 parking tickets that had to be addressed on the record for different reasons. We had a total of 75 discovery packets that were sent to defense counsel, and that included 58 body-worn camera videos with a total footage time of 30.8 hours. And Ms. Visna Kristen, our legal specialist, she watches the body-worn camera before we send it to make sure we know of any issues in the video that she notices and to make sure it's the right video. So that is a lot of work that she's putting in to make sure those videos get out to defense counsel. And the only other thing I wanted to mention, I don't know if AC Boyle mentioned it, there was the Coffee with a Cop last Thursday. I went to it, and it was I went to the morning one, and it was really nice session. So I'd encourage people to attend if they're interested. All right, are there any questions?
Yes.
Yes.
So you just have one person that is watching all that footage?
Yes. So that, that's Kristen. She is our legal specialist, and she does all the discovery for all of our cases. So she watches a lot of body-worn camera video.
Is that just her the only thing that she does? I'm assuming she's doing other things as well.
Well, it was 30.8 right? hours in 1 month. So,
so
7 hours a week.
Right. And that's assuming that a person watches it straight through. Some cases you might be able to speed up. Some cases you might have to watch more than once. Like we had a defense attorney last week who had an issue with the video footage from the BAC room, the breathalyzer room. So, you know, as a part of that, we had to rewatch that footage several times to pinpoint, you know, various things that he was looking at. So, you know, while we provide 30.8 hours, there might be times where we're watching a 1 hour or 30 minute video like three or four times.
Wow. Okay.
All right, anyone else? All right, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, we'll go on to report number four, emergency management monthly report.
Okay, thank you. So first, I would just start off with a quick reminder that we do have our mask and sheltering functional exercise on July 27th. So that exercise will be an emergency operations center activation where we'll be working through a scenario with our partners in Sumner. And just as a reminder, this is that scenario that kind of came out of the Lahari evacuation exercise we had last year, where we questioned, you know, what would we do if people had to evacuate from the valley? How would we shelter and take care of them? And so this is testing some of the draft plans that we've been working on here in the East Pierce area together. So just as a reminder, that's happening next month. And then the other big highlight, we did, three of us did go out to Maryland, Emmitsburg, Maryland, for that FEMA training for the week. AC Boyle, myself, and Mayor McCullough attended the Integrated Emergency Management course, and it was the scenario was based on the Mount Rainier eruption and or Lahar that might occur from it. And we attended with 62 of our closest friends from Pierce County and the state. And most of us were on the same plane, so it was rather entertaining travel together. So it was a long week. We had very full days, but they were the days were some course material and then lots of exercise. And I have heard from, I know I've heard from AC Boyle, he learned a lot and he's rather pumped up to get moving in some more emergency management training. But it was a really great opportunity to do some networking amongst those groups, because participants were from actually every jurisdiction that could potentially be impacted by a LAHAR. We're all invited. The county had several employees that were there. Special purpose districts, you know, surface water management, school districts, libraries. I'm just trying to think of, there were so many different partners. And then also state and federal. So the USGS was actually present with us and was able to give real-time information. So this would happen and this is, you know, how long this might take for a LAHAR to get to this point. And be able to feed input. And the National Weather Service also attended with us to help with forecast and those types of conversations. So it was really great. They were able to separate it out so that the emergency management professionals could have conversations, the policymakers from different organizations could have group conversations, and then special purpose districts and so on. So discussions and exercise were very targeted. And I think some really great lessons learned came out of it. I mentioned them in the report, but at any point, if you have any questions or would like to speak more about it, I'm happy to do so. And then not in the report because it's not quite ready to publicize the date, but just to let you guys know that we have come up with a tentative date with the school districts here in the East Pierce area for the next LAHAR evacuation exercise. And it's looking like it's going to be in March of 2024. I can't give you an exact date yet, just to make sure the districts don't change that in the next couple months, but just to be looking forward to that March timeline. Any questions?
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, hi. Hello. Okay. So on July 27th for the Mass Care and Sheltering, I was just looking. It does say that we should have received a calendar invite to RSVP.
The EOC team all received an invite, yes. And
oh,
so
gotcha.
You're
referring to the EOC team.
Yes.
Got it.
However, coming out of the training that we just had in Maryland, we've decided to go ahead and activate our policy group for the exercise. And so we have some discussions to have this week around who and how to include everyone in that exercise.
I just want to make sure I didn't miss something.
Nope, not yet. We know for sure an invite has, so John Vodopich and the mayor both being invited.
Okay.
We'll be working with Terry Carter to determine how and, you know, how and when we want to rotate council through if anyone wants to attend and participate.
Okay.
And then we have some community partners that we want to include in that. So a school district representative and a couple of others. So there's a little bit more to come on that.
Okay.
But it was an addition that came out of the training in Maryland.
Okay. I did have another question.
Yep.
I've been kind of hearing different time frames as far as LAHAR and reaching, you know, the bottom, because we've done some drills with our school as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm just curious, what is the number? What is the timing that's been forecasted for how long it'll take for the LAHAR to reach the...
That's a really good question.
...the Puyallup Valley?
That's a really good question. So...
I've heard different numbers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there was a recent update to the timing that came out late fall, early winter.
Okay.
And currently the estimates look like closer to 50 minutes before a LAHAR would reach boarding.
Okay. That's what I thought.
Yeah. But the old numbers used to say 30 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's that?
Depends on the traffic.
Yeah. The old numbers said 30 minutes. Prior to this update. So, you know, it did slow down a little bit.
Okay.
I always tell people that number that's the speed that the LAHAR is moving at. That is not necessarily the speed that the warning is moving at. So the warnings that go out, the sirens
could
that go
after,
off,
right?
It takes time, right? So
right.
Like the LAHAR would trigger some warnings, some sensors to go off that tell the USGS that something's happening. They have 5 minutes to confirm if something's really happening.
Okay.
And then the state and Southside 911 would trigger the sirens to go off.
Oh boy.
So that all takes time.
So I guess the reason I'm asking this is because we recently did the one where we walked up to a certain, we had all of our students with us. Mm-hmm. And I felt like the timing, there were things that we had added in the drill that were unnecessary that took away even more minutes. And so like, what are being communicated, I guess, to schools as far as timing?
There's actually going to be some updated messaging leading up to the next exercise. So, and that's, again, there's new information, right? So, we're currently working with the districts, and I know that the Puyallup team has been talking with Cascade Christian as well. And so there will be some lead-up trainings moving into that.
Okay.
I also know that the districts have been very loud about wanting to practice, actually write plans for, and then practice reunification.
Oh,
so
right.
There may be a reunification component to it as well.
Yeah.
Right. So there's no way we're going to do reunification with every district, but there may be some components that we work into the exercise based on input from the districts.
Okay.
So there be training coming.
Okay.
Yep.
Awesome. Thanks, Randy.
Absolutely.
All right. Anyone else? All right. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
We'll move on to the discussions portion. AB 2397, Resolution 3159. An ILA with Washington State Administrative Office of Courts and Bonnie Lake Municipal Courts for the late decision to get some reimbursement from the state when costs exceed extraordinary judicial prosecution or defense-related costs upwards of $181,000. This is free money. If we agree to this, we can bail that out for any. Is this for any of the reversal of the Blake decision?
This is more than anything else for like staff time and everything.
Oh, okay.
After July 1, anybody that is wanting a refund is going to have to go through the administrative office of the courts, and they've already got it publicized on their website, the court secret website, talking about how they're going to be able to jump in and submit their request or find out if they have any money out there and stuff. So it's been a lot of work, like what Dina Burke was saying. It's been a lot of staff time and everything else with pulling all the cases. We had to run reports and then set every one of those cases on for hearings. And so we're winding down on them. But this is a continuation of the one that we already have.
Okay.
It's just extending it out for more time to be able to continue to process those cases.
Okay.
That's great news. Are we liable for any of the reimbursement, or is that just all coming from the state?
Off of the one that the grant that we have now, mm-hmm. is that anybody that makes a motion and everything else and requests for reimbursement, the city reimburses those funds, and then we submit an invoice basically to AOC for them to refund us those monies that we've paid out and then refund to.
Up to the
so far, we've only had.
Okay.
So.
So I'm just noticing that the chair and the council members
are
here.
So,
it's the wrong committee.
This is slated for consent agenda. This will be for 2 weeks from tonight.
I think it got put on for consent
tonight.
For tonight, okay.
Yes.
Do either of you, Councilmember Watson or Carter, have
no,
any concerns with that?
No concerns.
Okay. All right, we'll leave that on for consent with the appropriate council members on the committee. Thank you, guys.
My apologies.
Oh, no worries. We'll go to page 27 of the packet now. This is AB 23106, Ordinance D23106, accepting a donation of a trailer from the Pierce County Sheriff's. Regine?
It is exactly what it sounds like. the city and the council were extremely gracious to fund the city being able to assemble one shelter trailer capable of sheltering 50 individuals in the budget. However, that's only 50 individuals. And so the East Pierce Interlocal Coalition requested of the county additional support to be able to place resources up here if, you know, we needed to shelter additional individuals. So they have agreed to purchase the necessary supplies and equipment to put in a trailer, for us, and they are willing to donate the trailer to us so that we would have an additional shelter trailer capable of sheltering an additional 50 people.
Nice.
It would be a regional asset because that's, you know, we would put it up here and obviously use it if our partners needed assistance mm-hmm. with that. But they are willing to make that donation. So we just, per the code, needed to put in the ordinance to receive it.
Mm. Sounds good. Good to me, yeah. All right. And that is on consent for tonight as well?
It is.
Okay. Any issues with that?
No.
No issue.
Thank you.
All right. Yeah.
Excellent work.
Thank you.
Yes, that's awesome.
Right. We're up to almost 200,000 so far in this meeting and free money. Let's see what the next one brings up. All right. Page 31 of the packet, which is AB 23-100, Resolution 31-26, a boating safety program MOU with Pierce County. Chief Hoyle.
This is an annual vessel registration fee that we get, and this year we're awarded $8,840 from the BRF as opposed to previous year, which was $11,250, but all about the registration of the vessels.
Okay. This is something we do every year. This does not have a consent agenda. You guys mind if it's on consent? And this would be going on in 2 weeks?
Yes.
Yeah, June 27th meeting. Yeah, that's what it shows there.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, hey, more free money.
Keep mm-hmm. yeah. going.
All right. That is the end of our listed items. We do have open county or open committee discussion, and one was Dean, are you still there? This came as a result of Lead Councilmember Watson and Dina talking during the coffee with the cop, and it was about a camping ordinance that we had looked at while Maley was still here. It never ended up going anywhere. I think she left before we could finalize it. We were waiting to see what Auburn did, and then it looks like Chief Jeter just sent out what Lakewood is doing. But the original one we were looking at, I believe, was Auburn, but it hadn't. I believe Maley thought it was going to be challenged, so we wanted to hold her
in there that we thought would be challenged to offer, but the Lakewood kind of subverted that a little bit with their new language, so we're hoping that might be something to look at.
Yeah, is that, did you get a chance to look at what Chief sent over on that?
I did not see, I'm sorry, I did not see the Lakewood one. I've looked at the Kent version in the past. I'm not sure how it's different than the Lakewood version. I know that since Maley was working on it, there was a new case called Grants Pass that came out that, what I probably would like to do would be to do a little bit of research, and bring something to the next public safety meeting, a proposed ordinance to, really make sure that, we're close to, you know, with the decisions that the Ninth Circuit has come out with regarding camping ordinance, anti-camping ordinances. Those have made it really difficult for cities, especially smaller cities that don't have a homeless shelter located in the city. So I'd like to really do a little bit of research and then bring a proposed ordinance to the next public safety meeting.
Okay, that'd be great. Chief sent it out yesterday morning.
Okay, sorry. I was out sick yesterday, so I'm sorry. I probably missed it.
Just want to make sure you have
okay.
it. If not, I can forward it back to you.
You sent something?
Okay.
It was just an email chain with me and him. It was,
oh, gotcha.
It was
okay.
something we were working on
okay, gotcha.
For this open discussion that she'll
okay.
support.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
I do see that email. Sorry, I missed it.
Okay. Oh, no worries. Anyone else for open discussion?
Well, yeah. So I had received an email this week about the partying and parking issue on 179th, and the gentleman was asking if there was anything that could be done to prevent that from happening this summer. And it was kind of a 179th, I believe that one is the one that's been blocked off. Mm-hmm. And then another resident sent a similar email about 179th as well, that people last year during the 4th of July were setting off fireworks in the vacant lot there. Yeah. And that it was going over the cliff, and the bluff there has dry brush, especially mm-hmm. in the summer. Luckily, I think last summer was fairly wet on the 4th of July. But anyway, they were just wondering if there was anything that we could do to prevent that from happening this year.
From my understanding, we've already got they've blocked off the roadway with the ecology blocks. We did initially do a chain, but the chain's cut, so now it's got the ecology blocks on both sides. So you're not getting in and out of there by drive, but you can walk in and out of there from multiple directions. We've got some open shifts or a open shift to assist with 4th of July that we're trying to get filled.
Okay.
So that would help if we can have another officer out there to help monitor this kind of activity. So, and we've had it before off of Skyland Drive as well. So, where they're shooting off fireworks.
Are you guys authorized to do something about vehicles somewhere?
No. No, too much equipment in there.
Yeah. Doesn't have to be an active. Anything else for open discussion?
I'll chat.
Okay.
All right. Well, thanks, everybody. This meeting is adjourned.
All right. I'll see you guys in a little bit.
Bye, Dina.